Good evening and welcome. Here we are for another hour of Family Law. So, I've already got a couple of hands up. Captain, do you have a question for me? Take yourself off mute if you do. There we go.
Yeah. Captain, can you ask a question for me, please? My son has his first hearing in the family court soon. Multiple false accusations. Do you recommend that they get a barrister or self-represent? And what are the pros and cons of self-representing?
I would always suggest a barrister if the matter is complex, because courts will try to make decisions based on case law. So what's gone before, you know, what's happened with other families. And of course, it's really difficult for a layperson to understand the case law and apply it to their position. So, but then it will come down ultimately to budget. You know, barristers are very expensive. You know, they will be thousands of pounds even just for half a day's hearing. Because obviously there's a lot of prep work gone into it. So if it's complex and budget allows, then go for a barrister. If it's not necessarily complex, but just needs more of a persuasion, then consider doing it yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Tracy. Yeah. I've got another one that says, I've been thinking a lot about when I pass away. My family are useless and my son's other side of the family are equally as useless. My daughter's dad, we are no longer together, has mentioned taking him on if anything, God forbid, was happened to me. How would I go about setting that up so my son goes there instead of anywhere else? He doesn't see his biological dad. It's been over a year now since social services told me he's not to have alone time. He's currently out on bail for 10 months for severe DV. I know my kids wouldn't see each other if they were separated. What can I do?
There isn't anything you can do, really. I mean, what some people do is they appoint a guardian in their will. So it gives a clear preference as to, if you were to die, who you would want your child to live with. So that's a clear indication. But ultimately, you know, if you die and social services become involved, they will look to the next person with PR. Doesn't mean that they'll automatically give that child to that person without doing some checks, particularly if the other person with PR hasn't had any contact with the child. The thing to do is not to worry about it. You know, I know that I get a lot of these emails, people saying, what happens if I die? Ultimately, social services aren't going to give a child to somebody who can't look after the child. So consider a will, consider nominating a guardian. Social services don't have to follow that, but it helps them. It helps them understand who perhaps the child has a relationship and you can use your will to communicate almost sort of, you know, from the grave in that regard.
No worries. That's all I've got for now, Trace.
Okay, thanks. Right, ABZ, you are next up. You're on mute. Oh, no, there you go. What's your question?
Hey, Tracy.
Hello.
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
So I have a contract order in place in Manchester Court, but I am thinking of, my daughter actually comes to visit me overnight. Not as much, but she does a little bit. I'm just wondering that as soon as I sort of contact maybe CMS, you know, in relation to sort of telling them how much time my daughter does spend with me, etc., that my ex might stop the contact. It's not in the court order that my daughter has to come and spend time with me overnight in Northern Ireland, but I'm just wondering if I put an application in into Manchester Family Court, would they prioritise a change in a contact order, or is it the whole 6 months waiting to get an actual date?
I think we're about 3 months. So I think if you were to make an application, and remember you're making an application about an existing order, you probably get a date within 2 to 3 months rather than 6. But your question, would they prioritise it? On what grounds? Because you're thinking she's stopping the contact, so there's no contact taking place. Would they prioritise it in that event, do you think? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the question, because I don't want to disrupt the contact that I have with my daughter too much. Yeah,
so sadly not. An application comes into the court, and regardless of what it's asking for, it will just join the queue. Do you know what I mean? And you'll be so what they don't read the applications and then sort of give priority depending on what they are. The only ones they'll give priority to is if we have marked them, you know, urgent, 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 really, really urgent. And even then, sometimes, you know, we're still chasing the court a week later to see if they've processed it. So no is the answer.
I'm assuming that those cases would be more to do with like child abuse type.
Absolutely, yeah. So abduction, if a child's been taken already, you know, a child is with somebody and isn't being returned. There was a time we would get in that afternoon, but now even our emergency applications, we're waiting a week, 10 days. It's not, you know, the court's not in a good state at the moment. The family court, I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, that's okay. No, I'm just sort of trying to plan things, because I know my ex is a wee bit difficult to try and actually think about our daughter's future rather than, you know, the pettiness that's going through. But I'm just trying to, you know, be a step ahead rather than a step behind.
Yeah, no, fair enough. It's good to be prepared.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. I know that's everything for me.
All right. Quick one. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Bye. Hannah says, if it's a lives with order, is it 18, but they won't enforce it past 16? That will depend. It's a really good question, actually. That will depend on the order. So we don't have child arrangements orders that go past 16, really. But if you have a child arrangements order that was potentially made when the child was 12, it may be worded that it goes to 18, for example. But typically, no. Once the child gets to 16, you know, the court don't really get involved then. B has pinned a question. Will they give access to kids that have been SA'd by dad? I think that's self-explanatory. I don't think anyone's going to give unsupervised contact or possibly contact to anybody that's been to an adult that's sexually assaulted. If kids have been abused and seen by cams, will any contact be given for the parent who caused the trauma? Depends on the abuse. Abuse takes many forms. It can be emotional, financial, mental, physical, sexual. So it does depend on the abuse. The reason I say that is because dependent upon the abuse depends on the nature as to how we deal with that. If it's, you know, financial abuse, for example, then we can deal with that. If it's an emotional abuse, we can obviously put some things in place. So it does depend on that. Court's always going to take the best interests of the child as priority. Goes without saying. And they will always go, you know, err on the side of caution. You know, the courts are too cautious at times. If any allegations made, even if it's not true, they will always err on the side of caution, because until they've tested the evidence and had the matter investigated, they're not going to allow contact to take place. I've applied for divorce and the ex hadn't received the email to accept. It's been 2 weeks. It might be they've received the email and don't want to reply. If they haven't received the email, go back to court and ask them to resend the email. If the court have got the right email address and they can confirm to you that they've sent it to the right email address, then what you want to do there is get yourself a process server. So a process server will serve your ex with a divorce petition, and then you can use the statements of service that the process server will give you to move your divorce on, okay? Breached a non-molestation order by replying to my wife. Police want an interview. Okay, well, you might get a slap on the wrist for that, but you can't be breaching orders. As long as you were served with that order, that's really key. You have to have been served with the order and be fully aware of it. If you're not aware of an order, then you can't breach it. So as long as you were served with the order prior to committing the breach, then yes, the police will investigate. Explain to them why you were getting in touch, and you know, give assurances that you won't do that again. What is the longest time it can take to get a child arrangements order? My ex keeps delaying. I've been in children's courts up to 4 years, I think, was the longest case I ran. just over 4.5 years in children's court, depends on lots of things. It depends on what we're arguing about. It depends on the relationship between mum and dad. Sometimes it can be really hostile, you know, just absolutely awful. It depends on, obviously, the part of the country that you're in. Sometimes, you know, if you're based in London, we can just wait longer to get our hearing dates. Contempt of court for non-molestation was a breach. Police says his excuse of a pocket dial. Okay, well, if that's what the police are saying, I'm not sure if there's a question there or you're just sharing that with us. Either way, it's fine. If that's what they're saying, that's what they're saying. Not too much you can do there unless you've got evidence. Jen has said, Captain, that she sent you a message. And apparently everybody can hear me on TikTok, which is great news. Need help. Me and my boyfriend bought a house a year ago, 50-50. She won't sell or buy me out, says she won't leave. Well, that's a shame. And that's the typical situation where we end up in court. You know, you are an owner of that property. If you've already left the property, you're entitled to your equity back. She's got two choices. She either buys you out or she sells the property. If she's not willing to do either, then you're going to have to make an order, an application to the court for an order for sale, okay? Hey, Captain.
Hello, I've got Jen's question.
Okay.
It's about mediation. So my husband left when my daughter was 14 months old. He's made no effort at contact since then. She's now nearly two. I've sent him mediation invitation and I've been advised to come up with a plan of how I can see contact going. She doesn't know who he is anymore. How can I start contact safely for my daughter?
So typically, it will be short bursts. It might start with, especially at that age, maybe 30 minutes with somebody familiar present. The reason I say that is that mum might not be, evening Erin, mum might not be the person who wants to be there. You know, there might be animosity between mum and dad, or there might be some DV involved. But it will start with just short bursts and to have somebody that the child is familiar with present until the child gets to know dad. That's what I would be suggesting. And then build it up gradually.
Okay, that's all I've got for now, Trace.
Okay, thank you. Hayley says, is there an age for a child to be heard if he doesn't want to go to his dad's as much as his dad's forcing? It's not set in stone, Hayley, but as a guide, they're generally around sort of senior school age. So once they start senior school, 11 or 12, but that's just a guide, okay? Each child is different. Some children mature a lot quicker than others. So it does depend, but hopefully that will just give you some help. X is threatening court for more access. I've given everything he has asked for. What else can I do? Well, why do you have to do anything else at all? I'm not sure. If you have given him everything that he's asked for, surely he's just going to keep asking for more and more and more. Maybe an option is to just say, that's it. You know, if it doesn't suit you or you don't think that it's in the child's best interest to keep raising the bar, don't raise the bar. That's would be what I'd say to that. Can I remove rights? 3 years, no contact, no idea where father is. No. If you're talking about parental rights, then no. Why would you want to remove them? He's not exercising them. If he chooses to exercise them in the future, you can always sort of say to the court, no, I don't think that he should have contact or he should be making decisions because he hasn't been in the child's life for ages. Hey, Captain, you're back on again. We're like a little team this evening.
Yes.
You and me.
Chloe is currently going through the ICFA. It's taken a lot longer than it should do.
Yeah.
He believes that the kid's mother is continuing to alienate the children.
Yeah.
She's also attempting to obstruct the ICFA by saying the children are scared of talking to the ICFA worker.
Okay.
And the next court hearing is probably going to be postponed as CAFCAS have sent a letter to the court for that to happen.
Okay. The thing to remember is that the ICFA is going to be an independent body. So they're not going to take sides between mum and dad. worry less about what mom is saying to them and what mom is doing to delay, and maybe trust the process is what I would say, because they are there to be independent and report back to the court. Now, if they don't report back that mom deliberately delayed or was being very obstructive, then the person asking the question can actually raise that with the court. So they have got that option to raise it with the court.
Thanks, Tracy. That's it for now.
Okay, thanks, Captain. Can you ask to see the CAFCAS report before the court hearing? Typically, CAFCAS will be told to file and serve their report prior to the hearing. So you should have a copy of that, because when you attend court, and generally what the judge will also want is for you to do a statement on that. On the contents of the CAFCAS report. So yes is the answer to that. Don't confuse the CAFCAS report though with the safeguarding letter. So when you first make an application, the court will want CAFCAS to do the safeguarding letter, and you don't always get to see that. Okay, that because sometimes they can be a bit sensitive. So the CAFCAS will send that letter to the judge, and it's up to the judge then as to whether they want to share that information or not. Okay. My children are scared of their dad because of temper and has hit out. What do I do? Well, the first step that you would want to think about is exercising your parental responsibility, and perhaps maybe supervising contact, shadowing contact, maybe even stopping contact if the children are afraid. If then dad disagrees with your decision making, mediation might be the next thing you guys consider. Failing that, dad would need to make a court application. And the judge would say, why are you stopping the children, or why are you wanting the contact to be supervised? And you would say exactly what you've just told me. OK, Jen, please help. Proven DV on Section 7. Going back to court now, denying it. Where do I stand? So if it's proven, let me just decline that invitation. If it's proven in the CAFCAS report, then the family court may well now say, let's have a fact-find hearing, okay, so that we can get an order, a finding of fact that these domestic violence allegations are in fact true. So again, don't take on the burden of that responsibility of now what do I do? CAFCAS are there, they've assisted you, so you would now want to say to the court, I think we need a fact-find hearing, potentially. It's difficult for me to answer with any degree of accuracy because I can't see, obviously, the report. Am I likely to be successful in recovering legal fees against your ex when fighting for full custody? No. Recouping your fees in family is very rare. The only way that you'll even get a judge to even remotely consider a costs order is if you have done something deliberately to incur costs by the other side. So maybe you're refusing to engage. Maybe you deliberately didn't turn up, which meant that they've got wasted costs because they got a solicitor and a barrister and the matter had to be adjourned. But if you are both engaging and you're both doing everything that you should be, you're not going to get costs. Okay, it's really difficult to get costs in family court. No contact for 3 years. No idea where father is. Can I remove rights? Sorry, missed your answer. Oh, the answer's no. You can't remove rights. And why would you want to, is what I think I said earlier. If father's not involved anyway, then he's not exercising his rights. And if he comes back into the child's life and then wants to exercise his rights, well, you could simply exercise yours by saying no. And then the court would maybe make a decision. Okay. My ex-partner says he is unemployed and he is not paying anything, but I think it's not true. What can I do? That might be a CMS question, is it? I don't know. Might be a better one for Anne. Karen, hi, would like to file for divorce against husband. No forwarding address. How can I find him? So step one, Karen, you want to maybe think about hiring an inquiry agent. You can Google them. They're everywhere. So you'll find one that's local to you. You don't even actually have to have one that's local to you because it's all done via the internet now. They don't charge a massive fee. Generally, it's two figures as opposed to three. You'll get someone under £100. And they will do some routine searches. Sometimes that generates an address or some sort of contact details. Failing that, you have to trawl through social media to see if you can find anything at all. Failing that, you can apply to the court for a disclosure order. Sometimes that can be the trickiest part, finding out where the ex is, because you've got to prove that you've served the divorce petition on them, okay? As the resident parent, says Lindy, can I legally be made to take my children to the visiting parent? Most contact orders, Lindy, are worded that you will encourage contact. And then when it comes to who drops off and who collects, sometimes the court will order that as well. So they might say that, you know, you drop off and then the father returns at the end of contact. So if that's in the order, then yeah, you're legally bound by that. If my ex makes up lies about me being nasty, will they find the truth out before taking her side? Do you mean they, as in the court, will they find the truth out? Depends if they're even bothered by the lies that she's spreading. So again, remember, if you're the father asking for contact and mother's just sharing a load of inappropriate information because, you know, she's upset, the relationship's broken down, whatever it might be, sometimes, a lot of times, it's not necessary. The courts don't take it into account because actually it has no bearing on the children having contact with dad. It's not needed, you know. So it depends on the lies she's saying. If she's saying that, you know, you're a no good layabout and all the rest of it, well, but are the children at risk? That's what a judge would say. Are they going to be at risk when they're with dad? You guys don't get on anymore, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be a good dad. Is it often to get supervised visits for children for a child arrangements order after DV and abuse to me, which the child witnessed? Depends. It's really difficult to answer these sorts of questions without knowing a lot more information. The court's always going to be cautious where there's domestic violence involved. Don't always give supervised contact orders, no. It will depend on the details of what's going on, okay? I'm in a financial dispute. Will I receive a MESHA order? Going to final hearing, I'm a primary carer. That depends, Ashley. So a MESHA order, for those of you that are listening, is an order whereby you are allowed to stay in the property until the child reaches 18, and then at that point you sell the property and divide the equity 50-50. And until the child reaches 18, the person who stays in the property has the responsibility of paying the mortgage. But a MESHA order doesn't apply to everybody. We have to see what the parties are earning, how old the children are, how much equity is in that property. And the court does try to veer away from MESHA orders where it can, okay? Kira, 16-year-old daughter doesn't want to go to dad so often. He threatens court, will they listen? I think I've answered that one, Kira. So a 16-year-old, the court's not going to make an order for a 16-year-old. I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. X alcohol results are excessive. Could he get unsupervised? Yes, is the answer to that. That will depend on how excessive they are, how often he's seeing the children, how long he's seeing the children for. It's going to be easy for you to argue with excessive alcohol results that they shouldn't be unsupervised in his care. And as a solicitor, that's a bit of a, you know, a golden ticket. If we get results from the other side like that, it's very easy to convince the court that it shouldn't be unsupervised. But I'm not saying that, you know, you wouldn't get it. Do you use Westlaw as a solicitor? I'm a law student. No, I don't use Westlaw. So in my firm, we have LexisNexis, which is our subscription and keeps us up to date with bits and pieces that we need. Money. Do courts favour mums still? Courts never favour mums' money, ever. It's a myth. Captain, I see your microphone's off. Your mute's off. How can I help?
So my soon-to-be ex-wife made me an offer of 40% of the value of the house, but I believe there is no reason not to split our assets 50% because we have very similar financial situations and I care for my children 50% of the time. She is saying she can't afford to give me 50% of the house. And I'm worried if I don't accept the 40%, she will just sit in the house, which we jointly own mortgage-free, forcing me to continue to rent. What are the chances of this? And should I pursue 50% and go to court?
So the first thing that this person needs to do is get some legal advice. That's the first thing they need to do, because it's impossible for me to say accept the 50% or accept the 40% without knowing anything about this case. So, you know, for the sake of that 1 hour to go through your issue, like your marriage and all your details, it's well worth it. Because at the end of that hour, we can then say, right, this offer is going to be considered fair and reasonable by the court, and this is what you should be going for, okay? So that's starting point number one. And from there then, everything else will fall into place. I know I'm always bashing on about getting that 1 hour legal advice, but it's so important. Honestly, it's so important, and it will really help out, especially if you're not sure what's going on.
I'm partway through a divorce. I've tried and failed to get mediation or other amicable option to work, so I've become court proceedings to resolve the finances.
Yeah.
However, my ex is now spending money like crazy out of the joint account. He is the main earner, insists I pay half everything, even though I've been forced out of my own home. Is there any interim order I can apply for so he doesn't keep accumulating debt? He's got mutual credit cards, for example, and that's what I know of.
The interim app or the interim order that you'd be asking the court for is a direction as to who pays what. Because the first thing that sprung to mind there was, if you're not living in that property, you shouldn't be paying anything towards it, because you've got your own living costs, I'm assuming. So I would be suggesting to this person to go back to court and say, right, money's being spent left, right and centre. If he's got credit card debt, is that even matrimonial debt? So let's be very clear between now and the end of this matter, who's responsible for paying what?
Thanks, Tracy. And a final one for me, because I've got to go.
Okay.
But can you give out the telephone number for the legal aid helpline?
Oh, please? Yeah, I can do that now. Brilliant. Thanks for your help tonight, Captain. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Tracy.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. So what Captain's asking me to do is, for those of you that think you might qualify for legal aid, we used to have legal aid for everything in family law. And we don't anymore. But if you think you might qualify, because maybe you have been the victim of domestic violence, in that instance, you may get legal aid. The number that you need to call is 0345 345 4345. It's the Civil Legal Advice Line, okay? And you give them a call and they'll take you through some questions. They'll do what's called a means test and a merits test. And the means test is to see if you fall within the monetary limit. So making sure that you're on benefits, for example, because if you earn too much, you won't qualify for legal aid. If you've got too much equity in your house, for example. And the merits test is how successful will your case be, okay? So it's 0345 345 4345. Anthony asks, what type of law do you deal with? Purely family law, Anthony. That's all we talk about here, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 till 8 now. We're doing a later session. Is there a time frame he needs to be out of their lives before court? Don't favour contact for him. Oh, sorry. I don't really understand that question. Beg your pardon. My daughter's 13, wants stepdad to adopt her, but my ex is on the birth certificate, but seen since she was two. I think that says hasn't she seen since she was two. With an application for adoption, I always say to people, the first thing that you want to think about is getting social services support, okay? So reach out to social services and have them do what's called a family assessment, because they will then come out and assess the family and say, yes, we'll give our support, or no, we won't. And I mean, in that instance, if the biological dad hasn't seen the child since he was two and you're married and it's the step parent, there's chances are they're going to give you your support, and then you make the application. Because the minute you make your adoption application, the court's going to reach out to social services and basically say, what do you think? You know, do you think this is a good idea? So make sure you've got their support first. Can I apply for PR for stepdad without bio dad's permission if he isn't on the birth certificate? So if biological dad isn't on the birth certificate, then he doesn't have print responsibility. If he doesn't have print responsibility, you don't need his permission. So then you are the only person with print responsibility. And yes, you can complete a parental responsibility agreement asking the court to give the stepfather parental responsibility. And the fact that he's married as well is going to count for more. Still got no hands up in Discord. I have never, in the 3 years that I've been doing Discord, known it to be so quiet. We have nine lovely people in the audience just listening to me rattling on, bless you. But we have no hands up. So for those of you that want to ask me a question, now's the time. Let's have a look. If the dad doesn't see his son, like 1 to 5 years, still I need to ask permission to go abroad for holiday. Don't think you do. The thing that I always say to people is check the country that you're going to. It's not that you'll be stopped leaving the UK. It's the entry requirements of the country you're going to. Okay. So that's what you need to be checking. Missy, one of my moderators, has just said that she can't get back on the Discord. Oh no, Missy, what's happened? Oh dear. Andrea's struggling this evening as well. She was on at first, but she can't hear me. So, oh, Andrea's just said she can't get on either. I haven't changed anything in the settings or anything like that, so I'm not sure that it's something. Maybe when I finish the session, I'll get Adam, my IT guy, to take a look at it for me. Is a financial order the same as a consent order? Great question. I get asked this question all the time. Yes, it is. So sometimes we'll call it a consent order because the parties have arrived at that order by consent. That's all. But it is a financial order. It's just by consent. The other type of financial order is where the court makes the order, and that's a contested financial order. Okay. Applying for adoption of a grandchild, excuse me, with social services support. Daughter has made false claims about me to social services. I'm assuming your question is, will they be looked into? Chances are they will, but if they're false, then social services may well reject them and the court may take no notice of them. How can mum refuse dad to see his kids, but dad still has to pay child maintenance? Because child maintenance and contact are two separate things. One doesn't depend on the other. Okay, so it's not a case of I will pay my maintenance if I see the child, because sometimes it's not safe for the child to see the parent, but that doesn't mean that the parents should negate their financial responsibility. And equally, some parents are having regular contact with the children but are on benefits and can't pay child maintenance. So that's why the CMS was created, really. They're separate entities. So we don't deal, over in the family court, we don't deal with any maintenance queries as well. Totally separate. CMS deal with that. We deal with the contact. Ali B, how can we encourage our ex-son-in-law to agree to a financial order? Mediate. Maybe mediate with him. Well, you wouldn't. Your daughter would. And see if he will agree to that. The importance of that financial order, guys, which is what I'm always telling people, is that it's the only thing that will sever the financial ties. If you guys don't sever financial ties, it means that you can come back and make a financial claim against each other. Thank you for that, Erin. Erin's just letting people know how to download the Discord app, create yourself a profile, come into the Legal Queen Lounge, pop your hand up and ask a question. And tonight's a great night to do that because nobody's got their hands up. In the history of Discord that I've been doing for probably 3 years now, I've never had an evening as quiet. But it's kind of nice because I don't actually get a chance to ask the or answer the TikTok questions, which is nice. I haven't done this for ages. My kids still live in the house with the ex. What age does the courts consider their needs? Well, the courts will always consider their needs up until the age of 18. If you're talking about financial needs, so right up until the age of 18. Maybe I've misunderstood your question, but hopefully that has helped. I've tried to add you on Discord, but it will not let me add you. Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. Although Erin's there to help out, I think she's given you a top tip. My partner's doing a financial order, but she's refusing to give her financial details. Well, that's not got you off to a good start at all. If you have made an application, the court will order her to provide her details. If she will, if she still refuses, even though she's been ordered to, the court can make an order in the absence of those details. Okay. Good evening, Mart. How are you? Lovely to see you. Well, yeah, and see you on the TikTok. That's great. Libby. Oh, sorry, Libby, they're coming thick and fast now. Partner's ex is refusing him to see his kids, but we can't afford court. What can we do? Do it yourself. So I'm always encouraging people to make family court applications themselves, okay? So you can do that by downloading one of the C forms for children, depending on what it is that you need to do. If you want, you know, more specific guidance, drop me an email. You can either drop it to me, tracy@maloneyfamilylaw.com, or I have another email, socials@maloneyfamilylaw.com. And we're generally pretty good at getting back to you guys in sort of within a day or two. Been fired due to sickness, had sickness. Ah, now that's an employment law question, not my bag. I am strictly family law, okay? How do I find the Discord channel? So Discord's an app. So if you just go into the App Store, you can download Discord. And then you create yourself a profile, much the same as TikTok. It's exactly the same. And then within that, you'll find the Legal Queen. That's fine. Don't worry about the employment question at all. People don't know a lot. What, you know, I just do the family. I get asked all sorts. I get asked Will's questions and everything. How do I find my father's will? Again, I'm not sure because it's not a family law question. My suggestion would be that you reach out to a will solicitor, and I'm sure you'll find one that will help you. Where would I need to go to start PR, and what form would I need to ask for it, please? Amber, are you the child's mother, Amber? Because if you are, then you've already got parental responsibility. Lauren, my brother has started using his kids as weapons. Do grandparents have rights in a family court? Only if the grandparents have been having regular contact with the grandchildren for a while, then yes. But if they, you know, if they haven't been having regular contact, not really. Oh, Amber says, yes, it's for a stepdad. If the biological dad is in agreement, Amber, to him having parental responsibility, then you can download the parental responsibility agreement form and give it to him that way because it's by consent. If dad doesn't agree, biological dad that is, then you're going to have to complete the C1. So download the C1 form and you're going to be asking the court to give the stepfather parental responsibility. Now, stepfather will have PR, but only by way of that order. OK, so then if that marriage ends, the stepfather wouldn't then keep his PR. OK. When, oh, sorry, my dogs are barking. When one parent moves away, can the CSA be lowered to allow parental visits via the car? It's a CSA question. Sorry, CMS question. Anne is on this evening, so that might be a better question for Anne. If grandparents have had no contact for 25 years, do they have any rights to access to the grandchildren? No, wouldn't have thought so. What if you have a no contact order, parent has changed the contact details and the child is due to have an op? Parent has changed contact. Oh, you mean about letting the other parent know? Well, you can't if you've got no contact details and you can't contact them. You can't really. Do you mean that you'd need to ask for permission? I think the medical profession, as long as one parent with parental responsibility can give permission, then that will be okay. Rachel, you have your hand up. So I've invited you onto the stage. Take yourself off mute, Rachel.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, yeah. How can I help?
Basically, I've had delivery boarders since March this year.
Yeah.
Mum's got time with order, but Mum's already breached that and we've held the children. I've got the children back, but then I went to court because I got them back through a in-person emergency hearing.
Yeah.
I requested.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, I put a C100 into change because obviously Mum's broke the order plus withholding. So, you know, this is going to keep continuing possibly. So
yeah.
I put a C100 in also, but they basically dismissed that and done it as an enforcement hearing.
Okay.
So basically went back to court. Mum didn't show up. And basically, the court order from what was in March, which was only, what, 3 weeks ago, obviously remains in place. So basically, mum's now due to see the children this Saturday, but can withhold again.
Well, she
and
can.
And the police won't get involved.
Or... Yeah, yeah, she can withhold again. I think under those situations, you might not want to allow, especially if you've got a hearing date coming up, it might be...
It's
might...
not till the 5th of June.
Well, even so, we're talking, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks away? Because there's every chance. Mum hasn't been to court since she's, you know, since you've got the children back. There's every chance that Mum's going to do this again. When you got the children back, did the court make an order at that point? That there'd be, was it like a penal notice attached or anything? No.
No, they didn't. That's what I wanted, because then if there's a penal attached, the police can get involved.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe give some thought to not allowing contact until you get the penal notice again. It's very disruptive to the children if that keeps happening.
I was just thinking, Legal Queen, is that obviously if I don't let them go Saturday, mum's going to put a breach, isn't she? Because I've then breached the court order.
Yeah,
but I think I've got enough evidence to
absolutely
prove why I've stopped.
Absolutely. I shouldn't worry about that, given that mum's breach was far more serious. And you've got good grounds to actually say, well, judge, I didn't want to take them, hand them over to mum, because I didn't know if, you know, I've got no penal notice. The police can't get involved. I didn't want her withholding the children again. It's very disruptive for the children, blah, blah, blah. I, you know, you're certainly not going to get reprimanded by the court for that. And you can also say to the court, look, I knew that we were back in court in 5 weeks' time. I would just feel better if we could sort this out, you know, get a penal note attached to the order in case mum does it again.
Yeah, well, just a quick one, because obviously I know it's not busy, but you're normally busy.
Yeah.
Obviously, mum recorded the children to tell the children what to say. It's a lot more serious than things going on. I'm like, well... Social services are involved.
Okay.
And they've been round to mum and said that their advice to me was that it was set up and staged and children were told what to say, which obviously is massively emotional damage to children. It's going to affect them big time.
You know what? It really is. And it might be that the children need someone to sort of step in now and just make the decisions, because they're, by the sounds of it, they're being placed in an awful position.
Yes, thank you very much for your help.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for the question. Okay, bye.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Rachel, let me try you again. There we go. Can I hear you this time, hello. Rachel? Oh, hello. What's your question?
So basically, I'm going to go see a lawyer tomorrow to get 50 custody of my children for an arrangements order.
Yes.
Basically... We tried to make it work. It hasn't worked at the moment. He's trying to dictate when I can have my kids and when I can't. So basically, I'm just going straight down the middle, like 50-50. So then it's more consistency for the kids.
Yeah.
My little boy, he starts school in September. I live about an hour away from the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, what's your views on me possibly asking the lawyer tomorrow whether... trying to place my little boy halfway between us both for school. I'm trying to work out whether that would be acceptable.
What's the current arrangement, Rachel? How often is he with Dad and how often is he with you?
Not a lot. I mean, I try and obviously have my kids as much as I can, but he's always like, oh, you can't have them, and then I'll turn up and they're not there. He's very much trying to control the situation, and he thinks that he's got full rights and full custody when no court action's been in place or anything.
So is it fair to say that they live with him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So to answer, now I can sort of better answer your question. I'm not so sure that a court would agree to the children going to school halfway. And the reason for that is that if they're living with him, then they've got a routine and they're, you know, he's going to successfully argue that, look, they should be going to school near me.
Yeah. What do you think the likelihood of a 50-50 child arrangement?
Well, that like, so when we're going them. When we're going into child arrangements orders or applications, then the first thing that we need to be aware of is what is the current routine that the children have. Okay, because the court's going to try to keep that routine as much as possible. Any order the court makes, they're always going to make sure that there's as little disruption to the kids as possible. So if I don't know how often you're seeing the children, but let's say you were having them, you know, two nights a week, to then go from that, which is four nights a fortnight, to then go from that up to seven nights a fortnight, which is your 50-50, is a bit of a leap. Okay. And the fact that you live an hour away. So, you know, I'm not sure how that works, you know, in that you could you have them in the week? Is that too much travelling for the children? I don't know. So where you're better placed is to build up to that. But you've really got to convince the court that your structure is going to work for them and going to be in their best interests.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Have a good chat with your solicitor tomorrow. You'll obviously be able to share a lot more with them. Hopefully they'll ask lots and lots of questions and you'll get some more support from them, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel. Bye. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up this evening. I've got no hands up in the Discord anyway. That was a very slow evening, but it was fine because it meant that I got to spend some time with the TikTokers. It was like the good old days when I'd go live on TikTok and we didn't even know about Discord. So guys, for those of you that have sat listening to me in the Discord lounge, thank you so much. It was lovely just to know that people were there listening, and I hope that you enjoyed that. I'm going to be back as ever on Tuesday. I'll do the 6:30 to 7:30 again, I think, because our 7 till 8 didn't really go with the bang this evening. So I'll be back here Tuesday at 7:30. Sorry, 6:30, beg your pardon. 6:30, I'm back on the Discord next Tuesday. Cheers, guys. See you then. Bye.